Thank you again for coming tonight. Pastor Herman and Pastor Carol, thank you again once again for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to bring the word tonight. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And if you guys want to open up in your Bibles to Romans, we were just in Romans. Pastor Herman talked about, you know, no condemnation, yeah, and the praise and worship just flowed right into that. And I believe that song was just perfect for tonight. You know, it's just going to tie in with everything. And I'm going in Romans, in the direction I'm going to be Romans 8, 38 through 39. Popular scripture. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." Amen, yeah. And it goes on to say, "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow." How about that, huh? I don't know how many times I've read this scripture, and I never saw that. His love covers our worries for today, our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. How about that? "Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I want you to hold your finger on that scripture because we're going to come back to that scripture. And tonight I want to be talking about a great apostle in the Bible. And he wrote 13 Bibles out of the 27 in the New Testament. 13 books. What did I say? He said 13 Bibles. Thank you. You guys can edit that out, right? He wrote 13 books out of the 27 in the New Testament. So if anybody knows anything about the New Testament and about God and about the Holy Spirit and about the new church, it would be this gentleman, the Apostle Paul. And I just want to talk about tonight, and one of the key things I want to bring out is that facts is not the truth. Okay? The truth is more important than the facts. Facts change. We understand that. But even the facts do not always tell the truth. And that's what I want to, in the back of your mind while we're going through this sermon, I want you to just think about God's love and about the facts. Like I read someplace, and I'm going off of my notes, that smoking cigarettes was actually healthy for you at one time. Can you believe that? Yeah, I mean, like, who would have thought? Smoking cigarettes, healthy. You know, at one time, this is a fact, that we didn't have a shoulder strap in the car. In fact, you didn't even have to put a baby in a car seat. My mom told me that she carried me in her arms when they brought me home from the hospital. So no, that's a fact. But how many know that facts change? It's not the truth, right? So sometimes we can go through situations and it seems like God can be a million miles away from where we're at. And that might be a fact, but it's not the truth, right? I needed a bigger amen than that, right? Sometimes things might not be going. I'll give you an example. This past Sunday, I came up and I talked about God healing my back. So we're in the process of taking a trip. So I cannot get hurt. Even if we wasn't taking a trip, I don't want to get hurt. But when I work hard, when I really get into the zone of working, I really don't pay attention to my body. And this one night, I came home at about 10 o'clock, a little bit after 10, I was working hard. And keep in mind now, okay, like I'm working hard and we're working on something, okay? And in the middle of the night, man, my back went tweak, and it hurt, man. It was one of those pains where I knew what was gonna come next. It meant that I was gonna have to stay home for a couple of days and just relax. But I cannot relax, okay? Even if I wanted to, and I don't want to relax, okay? The fact was that my back was hurting enough for me to stay home, but the truth is that God loves me enough that I was able to lay my hands on my back, and as I was walking around the house and speaking the word of God over my body, that God healed my body. Okay? Now that is the truth. It's not a fact, it is the truth. Because if I was hurting, you guys would know, right? Okay? Just one part of my message. So let's go over to, let's start this journey with Paul, and let's turn over to Acts 27. And I never even pull up that scripture in my, so as you're turning, I'm going to go on my Bible app on my phone, and I'm going to get that scripture. And you know, you guys, just go ahead and just listen, because it's going to be a whole two chapters that we're going to be going over, and we're going to be camped out here for a little while. And I got, there's a journey that God wants us to take to see. And say amen when you got it. So in Acts 27, we understand, before I start this sermon, before I start this scripture, we understand that Paul is imprisoned for preaching the gospel. Do we all understand that? You guys all know that. In this scripture, Paul is boarding a ship and he's taking a journey to Rome to go to meet Caesar to appeal his case for being put in prison, okay? So he is a prisoner. He is shackled, being put on a ship, going to see Caesar in Rome. So in verse 1 it says, as soon as arrangements were complete for our sailing to Italy, Paul and a few other prisoners were placed. See that? Paul and a few other prisoners. So he's a prisoner now, okay? That is a fact, right? Now remember, we said facts change, okay? We're placed under the supervision of a centurion named Julius, a member of the elite guard. And we boarded a ship from, I'm not going to even try to attempt to say that name. They're boarding a ship from this place, Adramyttium. Did I do pretty good? That was bound for Ephesus and ports west. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, went with us. The next day we were put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul most decently. And he let him get off the ship and enjoy the hospitality of his friends there. Now, remember we said that Paul was a prisoner on a ship headed for Rome. He's a prisoner on a ship, shackled. He's a prisoner now. And the guard treated Paul decently, let him get off the ship to go see his friends. You see that? Now, that's favor now. Now, I don't know if you've ever been shackled to something or been tied up in an area, yeah? Like, once in a while, I get the opportunity to go pick up Jedediah at Wailuku Elementary, yeah? And the line to get to the school to pick up the kids is just crazy. Like, it wraps around the school. I don't get locked up in that line. I go around the line. Some of these people, yeah, my wife has been in that line. And she says that it's almost like the people who have kids in school don't work, because they can sit in that line for an hour and a half waiting for their kids to get picked up. I'm like, no way. I pull in with my truck. I ain't going to get locked up or shackled to that line. I come around the side and I just wait right where Jedediah comes out, yeah? And most times, I will get there as he is walking out. So no pressure now, okay? You know, I'm not causing any problems with anybody. I'm just pulling up with my big truck, you know, with my beard and my sunglasses, not trying to look mean or anything, just there to pick up my kid. But today I got there a little bit too early before he got out of school. And I ended up having to, like, block the traffic. And we got favor. The guy who does the security over there, who's the, I don't know, what is it, the JPO or what, okay, anyway, it's not important, my wife says. We have favor. And he saw me, and JJ was one of the first kids coming out, and he just grabbed JJ's hand and bring him right across the street, open the door, put him in the truck, and go, right on, Chemo, God bless, and we're on our way. Now, that's favor. That's favor. That's favor. You got to learn to recognize the small little things, you know what I mean, yeah? It's so easy to point out all the big, or the little, you know, we make mountains out of molehills sometimes, yeah? Small little stuff, you know what I mean? And we forget to see where the favor of God is working in our lives, you know what I'm saying? Now, Paul was shackled on this ship, headed for Rome. And in the midst of this, he finds favor. Now, you know, I'm going off my notes, Pastor. You guys have been to the prison, yeah? Is it normal for them to let the prisoners out of the prison to go down to Ulalani's or go down to Ohu Stog or get one container of poke? That's not normal, right? That's not normal, yeah? Never happens, right? So we can see now, yeah? Like, and this is more like back in the day, they were more like barbaric, you know? So we would like to speak, because they never have Wi-Fi or iPhones or any of that stuff, yeah? So they, you know, they're probably more barbaric. But see, we see that, like, we can read this scripture and just scroll right past it and not even see the good in it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, my wife said, move on. So they let him get off the ship and enjoy the hospitality of his friends there, shackled, but finding favor. Out to sea again, we sailed north under the protection of the northeast shore of Cyprus because winds out of the west were against us. And then along the coast, westward to the port of Myra. There the centurion found an Egyptian ship, and they changed ships. And I'm gonna go a little bit past this because I don't want to bore you guys. Let's go over to verse 9 and 10. As you guys are putting your
eyes down there.
By this time, we had lost a lot of time. We had passed the autumn equinox, so it would be stormy weather from now on through the winter. Too dangerous for sailing, Paul warned. I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship, to say nothing of our lives if we put out to sea now.
Is it normal, Pastor, for the prison? I'm sorry, because you guys have been in the prison. It's not normal for the prisoners to tell the people in charge what they should and shouldn't do, right? Not at all, yeah? Interesting, yeah? Shackled on a ship as a prisoner.
Paul warned, I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship, to say nothing of our lives if we put out to sea now. But it was not the best harbor for staying the winter. Phoenix, a few miles further on, was more suitable. The centurion set Paul's warning aside and let the ship captain and the ship owner talk him into trying for the next harbor. When a gentle southerly breeze came up, they weighed anchor, thinking it would be smooth sailing, but they were no sooner out to sea than a gale-force wind, the infamous nor'easter, struck. They lost all control of the ship. It was a cork in the storm. We came under the lee of the small island named Clauda and managed to get a lifeboat ready and reef the sails, but the rocky shoals prevented us from getting close. We only managed to avoid them by throwing out drift anchors. The next day, out on the high seas again and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. Wow. They're dumping the cargo overboard now. This is all the stuff that they were going to sell, right? This is their profit, okay? They're dumping it overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off all the tackle and provisions. It had been many days since we had seen either sun or stars. Wind and waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of rescue. Wow. With our appetite for both food and life long gone, Paul took his place in our midst and said, friends, you really should have listened to me back in Crete. Now, you ever had one friend like that, yeah? Told you not to do something, and you go ahead and just do it anyway, yeah? And then after you get all jammed up, they come, then lo and behold, they just find a way to just come back and say, I told you, you shouldn't have done that, man. You guys ever had friends like that? I'm that friend. I'm the guy that comes around and says, bro, what's up, man? You should have listened to me, okay? We could have avoided all this trouble and trial, but there's no need to dwell on that now. From now on, things are looking up. I can assure you that there will not be a single drowning among us, although I can't say as much for the ship. The ship itself is doomed. Last night, God's angel stood at my side, an angel of this God I serve, saying to me, don't give up, Paul. You're going to stand before Caesar yet, and everyone sailing with you is also going to make it. Now, the facts are, yeah, this ship is going to crash. But God saw fit to talk to him during this situation, yeah, to assure him that no matter what he saw in the natural, he was going to make it. And not only him, but everybody with him was going to make it. The facts now. I cannot imagine being out at sea and being stuck in the ocean with all that stuff swimming around, you know, me floating around in that dark sea, not knowing what's underneath me. I mean, the closest I've ever gotten to being in a situation like that was surfing out La Perouse, out on the outer reef. And, like, it's black out there. Like, you look down and it's just, you cannot see the bottom. But being in this situation, I cannot imagine. Like, you're just out to sea, man. Like, and there's no Coast Guard. There's no nothing coming out to get you. You know what I'm saying? Anybody got a Wi-Fi signal out here? You know what I'm saying? You are out there. You know? But Paul is admonishing the group, saying that the angels spoke to him, the God he serves. Can I remind you, the God that we serve spoke to him in the midst of that situation, saying that, hey, you guys might lose the ship, but you guys ain't going to lose your lives. Okay? We're going on a journey here. Is this okay? You guys good with this? I believe God will do exactly what he told me, but we're going to shipwreck on some island or other. On the 14th night, adrift somewhere on the Adriatic Sea, at about midnight, the sailors sensed that we were approaching land. Sounding, they measured a depth of 120 feet, and shortly after that, 90 feet. Afraid they were about to run aground, they threw out four anchors and prayed for daylight. Some of the sailors tried to jump ship, and they let down the lifeboat, pretending they were going to set out more anchors from the bow. Paul saw through their guise and told the centurion and his soldiers, if these sailors don't stay with the ship, we're all going down. So the soldiers cut the lines to the lifeboat and let it drift off. With dawn about to break, Paul called together everybody and propose breakfast. This is the 14th day we've gone without food. None of us has felt like eating, but I urge you to eat something now. You'll need strength for the rescue ahead. You're going to come out of this without even a scratch. He broke the bread, gave thanks to God, passed it around, and they all ate heartily. 276 of us. Wow, that's a lot of people, man, to be stuck out at sea. 276 people, man. I cannot imagine being in a boat that's about to sink with 276 people, and I'm the only one who heard from God. And sometimes it's like that in life, yeah? You can be surrounded by hundreds of people, yeah? Be going through some crazy stuff, yeah? And you be the only one God talks to. What do you do in that situation? Do you keep quiet? Huh? Would be real easy. It's real easy to stay. I wouldn't keep quiet now. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with you right now. Like, if we were in some kind of emergency like that, yeah, and God said, no, everybody's gonna make it, you know, just to think of what they would do to you in that panic, bro. Like, man, people, you can imagine, you know what I'm saying? I'm going someplace with this. 276 people. All told, with the meal finished and everyone full, the ship was further lightened by dumping the grain overboard. Now they're dumping the grain. Now they're dumping food overboard. At daybreak, no one recognized the land, but then they did notice a bay with a nice beach. They decided, now check this out. This is what I was looking for. They decided to try to run the ship up on the beach, and they cut the anchors, loosed the tiller. Now, they cut the anchors now. There's no turning back from getting the anchors now. Once those anchors are gone, bro, you committed. Think about it. They cut the anchors.
Anybody know what an anchor is? You guys all know, right? Anybody know, curious about what an anchor is? Raise your hand, and Lambert will tell you, okay? Now, this is the weight that's holding that boat in place, okay? They cut the anchors now. They cut the anchors, loosed the tiller, raised the sail, and ran before the wind toward the beach. But we didn't make it. Still far from the shore, we hit a reef, and the ship began to break up. Have you ever been in a situation when you're panicking, yeah? And God's not answering your prayers, and you decide to make your own decision for the situation, knowing that that's not what God wanted you to do. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Every hand should go up in this place. You know, I don't know how many times I've done something out of fear, not seeing where God was coming into the situation, and just messed it up even more. You know, instead of just trusting God, trusting the truth, and not trusting the facts. You know, because the facts was temporary. The situation was temporary. God had a plan. You know, and this is like a great example of like what Paul just told him. Look, we're all going to survive. You guys just got to stay in the boat, you know. But we didn't make it. Still far from shore, we hit a reef and the ship began to break up. Oh, man. See, if they would have listened to Paul, maybe the ship would not have broken up. And I would have been really mad about this time because I would not want to be stuck in the ocean that far out. Man, this is where I would lose my Christianity, bro. I'd be like, bro, I don't want to be floating out here. Why didn't you guys listen? Especially with three boys, you know what I'm saying? Oh, the soldiers decided to kill the prisoners. Now see, they mess up and now they like start killing people. Yeah? Yeah? The soldiers decided to kill the prisoners so no one could escape by swimming. But the centurion determined. Now, Paul said, no, we all going to make them to the other side, right? But the centurion determined to save Paul. That's favor again. Stop them. He gave orders for anyone who could swim to dive in and go for it. And for the rest to grab a plank. And everyone made it to the shore safely. By the way, I never gave you the title of my messages because I'm going to give it to you at the end of the service, okay? Just in case you guys are taking notes. So now we're in chapter 28. And once everyone was accounted for and we realized we had all made it, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. So now, not only is Paul shackled and a prisoner, he's shipwrecked. Now, I was talking earlier before about making a decision out of God's plan for a situation and thinking about being shipwrecked, making a decision based on what I saw rather than what I knew God could do in my life. Oh man, it's junk. When you get to the other side of when God rescues you out of your own shipwreck, your own situation, and you look back and it's like, I could have passed up all of that rubbish if I would have just listened to what God said to do, even though I didn't see what he could see in the situation. Yeah, have you guys ever been there before? Even if you don't go to church, even if you don't believe in God, I think this is just a human experience. Everybody has been in an experience where they've made a decision out of the situation in a panic and a fear without just relaxing and just listening. You look like you were going to say something. Okay. Right? So, but see now, we're on a journey now. Paul is shackled and he's shipwrecked now. And they're on the island of Malta. Not the island of Maui, the island of Malta. You know, when I went to Rhema, I had a friend that was from the island of Malta, this guy, Gordon. Really nice guy. And it says, the natives went out of their way to be friendly with us. Friendly people, the Maltese, Maltans, I don't know how you would say it. Real nice guy. The natives went out of their way to be friendly to us, and the day was rainy and cold, and we were already soaked to the bone. But they built a huge bonfire and gathered us around it. Wow. Paul pitched in and helped, and he had gathered up a bundle of sticks. But when he had put it on the fire, a venomous snake roused from its sleepiness. This is where I'm going.
roused from his sleepiness by the heat and struck his hand and held on. Now, you know what? Yeah, right here. This is not the ending part of where I wanted to go, but after being shackled as a prisoner, shipwrecked, and then bitten by a snake, I think that would have been enough for me already. That would have been like, you know what? I'm going home. I can go home, cook rice. I'm done. This is it. Forget all of this. Yeah, God said we're going to land on the island. Everybody's going to get here. And yet a guy who prophesied and God talked to is the one who gets bit on the hand. How about that? How about that? Huh? And now watch this now, okay? Seeing the snake hanging from Paul's hands like that, the natives jumped to the conclusion that he was a murderer getting what he deserved. How about that? Oh, you cannot, man, people are like facts too, yeah? Man, they always changing, man. They just be careful to get the approval of people because they will love you one second and hate you the next. You know what I'm saying? You know, like we love people, but we don't look for the approval of people. We look for the approval of our Heavenly Father, right? Because that never changes. That never wavers, right? We talked about that in the scripture I just read in the beginning, right? Right? So now this snake but must have been on his hand long enough for everybody to see. You know what I'm saying? And you got to be careful of what people might say, like snakes. You know, when they say stuff to you, not to let it get to you. What did Paul do? I'm waiting for somebody to be bold enough to say, what did Paul do when this snake bit him? Anybody bold enough to say? Shake it. What did he do? He shake him off. He just shook it off, just like that, right? And you know, I'm wondering, yeah. I just me being curious. If when the snake bit him, yeah, because he's a man of God, did it hurt? You know what I mean? Because he shook it off and like did it puncture him? Did it bite him? You know what I mean? Did it really hurt? Or was it just like on one whole like spiritual thing, like it bit him and it didn't like nodding. He just was like a mosquito or something. You know what I mean? What was it? Was it like because it was a poisonous snake. And when they saw him get bit, they were expecting him to die. I lived in Oklahoma for 3 years, yeah? And there's 47 different types of snakes in Oklahoma. 7 of them are poisonous. Most of them rattlesnakes. There's water moccasins. They call them cottonmouths. But the whole time I was there, the only snakes I saw was garden snakes. A little bit bigger than our snake over here. You know that little worm snake? So like, one of the things when I went to school is that I was kind of concerned, not worried, not mortified or terrified. It's like, wow, like, you know, what if one snake get in my house, like one cockroach or one rat, you know what I mean? What am I supposed to do? Like, I've never dealt with snakes before, you know? But Paul, he obviously knew how to deal with this snake, you know what I mean? Now, he's been shackled, shipwrecked, and snake bitten. And sometimes in life, yeah, the facts will tell us, yeah, that everything is going wrong, that nothing is going right. Even though we're serving the Lord, we're doing what we know to do. We come into church, we're supporting our leaders, we're supporting our pastors, we're praying, we're reading our word, we're getting into worship, we're involved. We're doing all the things, yeah, that speaks of us doing right in our walk with God, right? I'm not going to have a show of hands, but I'm sure that everybody here, no matter what walk of life you've had, there's been situations where just one thing after another. Ezekiel, yeah? 2 weeks ago, we were coming to church, and he was sneezing. And he had stayed home from school a couple of days from before that. And I was just like, man, like he's missing some school. And then the following week, he got sick again. And he had to stay home. And he likes school now. This is his second year of preschool. And this week again, Monday, he woke up with a fever, real hot. was sick and he had to stay home from school. He's going back to school tomorrow. Now, I'm not using my example of what we're going through as if I was shackled on a ship, shipwrecked on a beach, or bitten by a snake. But we all go through stuff where things happen and like the thing just keep stuff just keeps coming up, coming up, coming up, coming up. You know what I'm saying? Things just keep happening. It's like one thing after another. It's like, man, just when you get over the hill, it's one more valley. Just when you get to the end of the tunnel and you see the light, it's a train coming for you. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes life can be like that. Life can be like man, just one thing after another. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to encourage you tonight, that God has a plan for your life. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what your last name is. God, I believe God has a plan for everybody. And everything you go through, you know, there's a way that you can look at it. You can look at it through the lens of bad things always happen to me, or there's some way that God is going to turn around this situation for his glory and make me, I will be the light. I will be the salt for him because people will not be able to deny that God is working in my life when they see what happens next. Because what happens to Paul? Paul shook the snake off into the fire. And this is the words in the Bible. Paul shook the snake off into the fire like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. And sometimes the devil, we're talking about facts and the truth. Now, the devil is the opposite of the truth. The devil is a liar, right? The devil is a liar. We need to understand that, okay? Anything that is not good is not of God. Like the song said, how did it go? It's not the end if it's not good. How did it go? Is that how it went? This can't be the ending if it isn't good. If it isn't good, this ain't the ending. Say that with me. If it isn't good, this isn't the end. If it isn't good, this isn't the end. You got to tell yourself that. If this ain't the end, if it ain't good, this isn't the end. So it ain't the end. We're going on. And Paul shook the snake off into the fire like it was nothing, and they kept expecting him to drop dead. Wow, how about some people, eh? You know what I'm saying, eh? Wow. They just was waiting for this guy to die. But when it was obvious he wasn't going to, they jumped to the conclusion that he was a god. You see how people are? Wow. 1 minute they're waiting for him to die, and the next minute he's like, "Whoa, wow, this guy is on God. I better go talk to this guy." You know, and you can see situations in your life where it turns around, where people look down on you. Now, okay, maybe they're not looking down on you. Maybe they don't believe what you say, or maybe I don't know what the situation might be, and they see God work in your life, and it's not spiteful. They just see God work, and they're like, "Bro, I better go check and see what's going on with this guy." You know what I'm saying? Then jumped to the conclusion that he was a god, and the head man in that part of the island was Publius. And it goes right into that. And now, the head man in that part of the island was Publius, and he took us into his home as his guests. Yes, and the story isn't over if the story isn't good. I like that. The headman in that part of the island was Publius. Now, this is where I'm coming to, because now Paul, you see that this whole journey that Paul was on, that he did not plan to be on. Now, that wasn't like he called up Robert's overnighter and said, "I want to book a trip to Malta," okay? But this is where God took him through. And he went through all of that to get to Malta, to meet this guy, Publius. He took us into his home and as his guests, drying us out and putting us up in fine style for the next 3 days. Now, Publius's father was sick at the time, down with a high fever and dysentery. And Paul went to the old man's room, and when he laid hands on him and prayed, the man was healed. Can you imagine having to go through all of that only to pray for some man on an island that you never met to be healed? How is that? How is that? That's just God, man. Like, bro, oh, he take this whole scenario that I've been through, man, you know, my truck gets smashed, only for I get a new truck, you know, he take you through to all kinds of stuff. Oh, my kid gets COVID so that I can come up here and tell everybody how God touched his body and healed him in an instant, you know. I get kicked out of my house only to live in Yale Valley. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. You know what I'm saying? You go through all this stuff, man. You get shackled. You get shipwrecked. You get bitten by a snake. Only for God. Man, look at Job. Look at Job. You think Job trusted God after he blessed him double or before all of that happened? What about Daniel in the lion's den? Did he trust God in the lion's den? Is that when he decided to trust God? Hey, amen. I better get on this, man. Right? Isn't that good? He had a relationship with him. That's right. Most of us don't choose to go through these kind of situations, but we can choose how to respond to them. And that's the trick right there. I don't know if I should use that word, the trick. That is it right there. You know, you cannot choose some of the situations you go into sometimes. In fact, most times, you cannot pick and choose what happens. Sometimes just accidents happen, right? That's why they call it an accident, right? But you can choose to trust the facts of what you can see, or you can trust the truth, which is God, right? And see, the same guy who wrote Acts 27 through 28 is the same guy who wrote Romans 8. The same scripture we read in the beginning. The same guy. And we're going to go back to that. See, unsuccessful people make decisions based on their current situations, but successful people make decisions based on where they want to be. I'm going to read that again one more time. Unsuccessful people make decisions based on their current situations, whether they're shackled, shipwrecked, or snake bitten, or wherever you're at in your walk. I don't want to preach that over anybody, but I don't know where you're at right now. Whatever situation you're in, unsuccessful people make decisions based on their current situations. Successful people make decisions based on where they want to be. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be in a position to be used of God no matter what you're going through? Let me tell you, it's easy to cry about stuff sometimes. You know, I like to tell everybody that I'm Puerto Rican, but I'm probably just as much Portuguese as I am Puerto Rican. So my mouth can go, and Brenda's laughing because we're about the same, yeah? Portuguese, Puerto Rican, yeah? So yeah, my mouth can go in the same direction that my Puerto Rican can go, you know? And that's where I need to, you know, that's where I need to control what comes out when situations happen, right? And so I told you to hold your finger in Romans 8, and this is where I'm going to end, and I hope that this helped you tonight. Romans 8, and we're going to go back up a couple of verses. We're not going to start in, I believe I started in 38. We're going to start in 35. Romans 8, 35, and I'm going to read it. And it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean, now check this out now. Check this out. I'm going to highlight this. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things. Sometimes it can feel like you're just like sheep to the slaughter with the situation you're going through. No, despite all these things, overwhelmingly victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And you know, I took a couple of different translations, and they say, "And I am convinced." In another translation, it says, "For I am persuaded." Now, this is the same Paul that was shackled, shipwrecked, and snake bitten. Now, if anybody can tell you about the love of God, the love of Jesus, gonna be somebody who's been through a situation like that. You know anybody like that? Anybody know anybody who went through a situation like that? It's almost like watching one. Now, if we were to read the Bible, yeah, like you reading your Harlequin romance novel, you know, you don't know what's gonna happen next, kind. Or one Netflix series that you're watching, and you get your favorite character, and this guy just going through it, you know. Maybe he got sold into slavery and he's on a boat and he's about to die. You don't know if he's going to live. We read the Bible and we already know that Paul lived and he wrote 13 books of the Bible. Now, you read it like you've never read this story before. And you see what he's going through. And you don't know what's going to happen next. You know he's a prisoner. Like, we had this one story. We watched The Last Kingdom. Well, I don't know, but like hit 8 seasons or something like that. And this guy, he went through it, man. Man, in every season, man, he was like one angel, man. He went through, he got kidnapped, taken away from his family, lost his family inheritance, and he went up and down, up and down. And we never know what was going to happen. We never know if he was going to survive or come out ahead, but we see in the Bible how Paul, came out. Amen? He overcame. And I am convinced, for I am persuaded, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, above, or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is what I have for you guys tonight. And I don't know where you're at tonight. The title of my message is Shackles, Shipwrecked, and Snake Bitten. And I don't know where anybody is at tonight in their walk, what you're going through in life. I don't know if you feel like you're in chains right now, you're shackled to a situation that you cannot get out of, or that you feel like life has come to a halt where you're shipwrecked and you're just stuck. Or maybe you're in a situation you've been bitten, you've been hurt, you know, and you don't know what to do. And it's easy for us to say just to shake it off, but when it comes to matters of the heart, you know, it's really easy to just give words. But I'm here to tell you tonight that I believe in a God that loves us, that no matter what you're going through, that He can get you over.